I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories.
Here's what to expect on this episode of The Dad Experience.
Yeah, it's a social experience for me as well. You know, performing in bands, connecting with band members, right? Feeling a part of a team. And that boils all the way down to what our core values of community through music with the young ones, right? Our group sessions and our birthday parties, they're all together. We're all one band.
The Dad Experience.
Welcome again to The Dad Experience. Another great episode today. Today we have on the Beat Buds. The Beat Buds are family musicians. They've been dubbed the family musicians to stars. They have celebrity fans that include Jimmy Kimmel, Kim Kardashian, Jessica Simpson, Jessica Alba, Justin Timberlake, Bruce Willis, Jennifer Love Hewitt, and many, many more, just to name a few. We're going to talk to them today about their music for families, as well as the YouTube shows they've been up to, as well as being dads and their experiences with that. Welcome, Johnny and Maddie, to the show.
How's it going? Thanks for having us.
Oh, thank you. I'm doing all right over here, you know, just managing the whole stay-at-home COVID situation here. I'm in Michigan, so we've still got our stay-at-home order. I want to say until the end of the month, at least. I want it's 25th or something of May. I don't know. That's where we're at. So how are you guys handling the COVID situation over there?
Taking a lot of walks, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Face mask walk. Yeah,
that's what I hear.
I'm starting to recognize people's eyes now. Yeah, I don't need the rest of their face to know who I'm talking to.
Yeah,
right.
I'm adapting.
Right. Totally.
Absolutely. And you know what else is funny is like I get so frustrated. Like if I get a phone call or a text because it's all the facial recognition stuff. Now it's like trying to tap that thing to get it open because like you can't get it open anymore. And It's a different world. So, you know, we always like to start off the dad experience with who lives with you at home, kind of what's the makeup of your household, if you want to kind of go around robin on that.
Yeah, you want to start?
Sure. I have two kids. I have two kids as well, two girls. They are 9 and 6. Obviously, I'm married and we're 4, but we have a dog, so that makes us number 5. And it's just I wouldn't say it's a simple process, but you know, like you said, you know, the schooling's happening at home. So we're teachers, we're chefs, we're creators in terms of games and activities that we can do to keep stimulated. A simple 5-person, 5-entity household.
Yeah.
Nice.
And for us, it's my wife and we have a 2.5-year-old. And, you know, if Maddie's going to include the dogs, then we got to include the 2 cats.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife would be pretty upset if I didn't include those cats. But
I didn't count the cat. But, I should, though.
I don't really count the cat.
Although the cat is really, really becoming more part of the family now, actually, to be honest. I think because we're home so much more. My cat lives in the garage, so like we're always home now in the garage, cleaning out the garage. So I think there's a comfort level now. Yeah. My cat's more of a pet than ever.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, you mentioned cleaning. I'm sure you guys are in the same boat we are. We're like packing and cleaning and getting rid of junk and just like, I can't believe like the amount of, when you don't have a lot to do or a lot of places to go, the different things that you just find to pass your time. And I can't believe having 2 little kids, you know, and they're not that old yet, having this much stuff in the space.
Oh, yeah.
How much more stuff do we have? We don't have any more room for anything. It's like, got to start merging.
Grandma's fault. It's grandma's fault. She just keeps bringing stuff.
That's it. I blame the grandparents all the time.
I do have to say
we're lucky.
Keeping, you know, finding ways, making more space in the house, cleaning the garage, obviously. So it's amazing how much stuff we've accumulated. But
it is. It's interesting. It's taken this for me to kind of realize it too. So, you know, it's been an interesting experience to say the least. So kind of to start it off, you know, I was really intrigued. You guys offer weekly virtual music classes. Can you tell us about why creating and sharing music for children is so important and kind of how that came about?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, when we, this whole virtual space for us was kind of a new thing. Maddie and I, prior to COVID, we had this really thriving in-person business where we were doing in-home classes and sessions for children, really young kids, really, and birthday parties, things like that. We were doing probably upwards of 80 gigs, really, because they were gigs, per month. Yeah. And I mean, just firing and firing and firing. And when this COVID thing hit, we really didn't have any intentions for, you know, a revenue stream within the virtual realm. It was really more about, we were such a part of these kids' lives on a daily basis. You know, parents were hiring us in, you know, weekly classes that we were visiting them. And then a lot of these kids who we were doing weekly sessions for were seeing us on the weekends at birthday parties. Some of them twice a day on a Saturday at one birthday party in the morning, and then again on later on in the afternoon for a birthday party. So, I mean, we were just, and then in their schools different times during the week. So, like, we were just such a fixture in these kids' lives. So when we started this virtual thing, it was really more about doing a live YouTube virtual stream so that the kids had a sense of normalcy when the COVID thing first hit. And schools had shut down for a week prior to spring break, and there was really no other intention other than to give them a sense of normalcy in their lives when things were so abnormal in the world. It wasn't until the first parent said, you know, would you guys be willing to do a virtual birthday party, that, you know, the wheels started to turn for Matt and I, that, and our business had totally shut down, right? We were doing zero. We went from 80 gigs a month to zero, that the wheels started turning, that, you know, there's another revenue stream here. And we really needed that, because we no income anymore.
They were like donating money to us.
Yeah.
Basically on our YouTube live stream saying, hey, you guys are doing what you were doing. You should be paid for that. And we're like, yeah, but that wasn't the intention here. The intention here was just to keep things flowing.
Yeah.
But we were grateful.
So we started offering some services on our website. One was a virtual birthday party. The other one were these weekly virtual classes. And they've been going great, you know. So we figured out how we could do that, how we could keep it interactive for the kids, how we could keep it interesting and fun and enriching and entertaining at the same time. And it's been going great.
It's quite a bit different than being in the live setting when you have a child right in front of you.
Right.
Right.
Right. I mean, right.
You got to really deliver to that little camera right there. Right. You got to make it fun for them.
Right. You're not getting anything really back. I mean, you are on the other side of the screen, but like, it's just different, you know? And as you know, as a educator in music, right?
Right. Right. Yeah, no, it's totally, that's the case. Like I totally agree. I can work with the kids and give them feedback, and they've got music, and we haven't tried to do like a Zoom virtual concert. And then that's just like a whole nother headache. I don't know if you guys have messed with any of that stuff.
Yet, but that, yeah, it's coming quick.
You know, and you probably already know how that is. Like, it's when you have high school kids, not professionals, but you got like high school kids that are trying to play together. It's a little scary.
Oh, yeah.
And you got delays and you got different computers and all that stuff. Thing.
Yeah. No, our kids are early age, so they're not really playing along with us in time.
Yeah.
Right.
So we could get away with that. But you're right. That's the next level, is someone's got to figure out an algorithm to be able to link this stuff up.
Right.
Right. Right?
So we could do it live.
Right. It seems like the virtual chorus, not to get too much off track, but the virtual chorus app or whatever that is, seems to work better for like choruses, but as far as for like instrumentation, instrumental, it's a lot harder. It seems to be a lot harder just because you've got latency and you got all those other crazy musical things that go along with it. So it's interesting. What's very interesting is I saw Eric Whitaker. I don't know if you guys know who Eric Whitaker is, a choir guy, songwriter, huge in the choir world. I saw him at a music conference, NAMM, last year, I think it was. And he had this already way back when, he had this huge like virtual choir get together, and they just kind of created it from all over the world. But it worked on choir. It's very, very difficult. I tried to take that on and it was very difficult. But hopefully, like you said, the algorithm will build up and that will hopefully change, because what's the only thing that seems to be like the solid, the foundation, and everything that you see right now in the world has been the artists, the musicians and the artists, the, you know, people that are into art, visual art or even dance or whatever. That's the stuff people are turning to. And the scary thing is right now is, who knows what's going to happen when we go back to school and how that's going to keep going. But obviously we relied on it so much, and you guys know that. So, how has the reception been with all that, with the interaction? Are the kids excited about it? Are they kind of just like, is it the same or better?
I mean, look, I think that there's a lowest common denominator now. We all know that we are stuck in our houses, and, you know, if the computer screen is where we need to get our entertainment and our joy, then so be it. So I think that what we're doing with, I mean, gosh, we dance and bring out stuffed animals and do all these things and tell them to create their own instruments with Tupperwares and rice. you know, and play even like little hide and seek games in the studio to get them looking around and keep them involved. I think with those techniques that we've learned, not only is it going to help us in the real world when we actually do this again, but I think that we're doing the best we can do. Yeah. You know, we're learning it. We're learning every day. This is by no means are we masters at all. Like every single gig we play virtually, like we're learning something new, right. a new little gem of an idea, right. You know, that we could use. And I mean, it's been fun. It's
crazy. The coolest thing that we found about this is when we were doing this live in person, is that a parent would have a group of friends in their friend group, and you would have a group of moms, dads included, right? Who would be, you know, 8 to 12 people from a friend group, generally from that same school or that neighborhood, whatever it was. Now we can have a group of friends, and generally speaking, it'll start out with a group of friends, but you may have someone join the group in LA from Boston or Australia, and that is really amazing. And it's helped our company grow nationally, globally. We're doing birthday parties in Australia, people joining in from Denmark, people joining in from all over the country.
This is like an addition. Yeah. I don't see this as like I'm starting to see this now. Like, we don't see this as a substitute. We see this that now maybe as an addition to our list of services.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because we see the value in it, especially for a global audience.
Right.
That's cool.
And people always talk about, you know, when things go back to normal. And I'm hoping that most musicians will really start to understand that there's going to be a new normal. And I don't think that, I don't want to say things will never go back to normal, but I really hope, and if we have a message to other musicians as well, is that like, there's going to be a new normal. And I hope that everyone can really adapt and figure out that there will be a new normal and that you can pivot so that whatever your old bag of tricks was, you can add something to your arsenal so that we can all pivot and move forward and have something else. Because if you're just waiting for things to get back to the way they were, may never be there again.
Right.
And you're just going to kind of be left in the wake.
Yeah. Know? For us performers, right? I mean, the idea is you have to be in a room together.
Right.
Right.
I mean, right. There's no other way around it.
Absolutely.
The exception of now the virtual, right? So you got to figure out another way to approach it.
For sure.
We're the last ones that are going to come to fruition, I think, when this is all said and done. If there is an all said and done, maybe this COVID thing has a resurgence, which I've been hearing a lot about. And,
right.
And there's now the new normal is we can do some live performance for a while. Then we have to retreat back to our homes when this thing comes back. And then we go back out and then we retreat back. So we don't really know. So we're going to have to use these skills, I think, forever.
Right. So that's why this, like Maddie said, you know, to hop back on that is that this is an addition. This is not going to be something that is just part of what we're doing now, and then it'll go away, you know, when things go back to normal. This is going to be something that's going to be a part of what we do moving forward. It's going to be a service that we're going to continue to offer.
Yeah. And I think it's a good thing to think about, not only in an artist form, but in everything, like, you know, obviously in education too, it lends well to the artist form because there's a lot of similarities there. But I mean, in all jobs, I mean, when is it ever going to go back to normal? Can we work from home more? You know, is it more effective? Is it, who knows? But like you said, it's just adapting and who knows what the future is going to bring, because nobody expected this to happen even.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, just got to adapt and keep going. So, I something triggered me and I had a question too. We've talked a lot about screen time and stuff. How are you guys managing like the screen time with your kids and stuff? Like, we feel like the worst parents sometimes over here because we're like, oh, they've got to be on the iPad for a little bit. If I've got a meeting and my wife has a meeting, or even just one of those days where it's like, normally I wouldn't say, you know, here's the iPad, but I don't know. We're just kind of like going with the flow. How are you guys handling that?
It's part of life. And, you know, yeah. Maddie can speak to it a little bit more because his girls are a little bit older, but I mean, it's a part of their lives, right? I mean, their school is, I mean, they're doing Zoom classes, right? That's just part of the curriculum now, right? I mean, it's.
Yeah. Look, I'm with you, man. I have given over the iPad to my girls more than I would normally, but it's like Johnny just said, it's just a way of life now. And look, I mean, our most important, you know, teachings and learnings are now coming from the computer screen. So maybe this is the transition that says, okay, my daughter wears special glasses when she's looking at the computer screen. I don't know if that's something that you ever thought about, but you know, maybe this isn't such a bad thing. And it's just, we're just going to have to adapt our eyes, you know, moving forward in the future. But hey, I try to get them on their bikes as much as possible because they need physical activity.
Yep.
They gotta have it. I mean, we're trying to, after every meal, they gotta, you know, wait a little while and then go out on the bike and take a ride around the block. because there's no substitute for getting out there and moving your muscles.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
we're outside a lot.
Yeah.
We're outside a lot. We spend a lot of time outside.
That's good. their whole social life is here. So,
right.
Okay. So physical activity is important, but so is socialization. And like, if this is the only place, then like, I got to let them do it. I got to let them do it, you know?
Totally.
And they're doing research on the iPads now. I mean, you know, school is all virtual, so they're not going to the library.
Right.
They got it. They go on websites on their iPads, and they pull. You know, my 9-year-old, right, is a third grader, so she's doing reports, and she's sitting there pulling information off of the web and using the iPad to do it, and Google Docs, and teaching me things that I've never even known about. Right. So I'm backing off on the screen time. I think that they can have it for a little while, but
as long
as it's a balance.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, we're just hoping here in Michigan for the weather to break a little bit more consistently so we can go out more. But we do the same thing.
Right,
we try and get them out. We get them out on the bikes. We get them out on walks, whatever we can do to get them out. It's good for us too. I mean, I know from my experience, even I just vacuumed the house the other day. I'm like, I am out of shape because I've been sitting around stagnant for so long. So you guys talk a lot and teach a lot about social norms and being better people through music. Why do you think music's a good medium for that? And why do you think it's effective through music?
Man, this is an easy one. And I think that, you know, it comes from Maddie and I finding music so young, being bit by that music bug. And I think that we're also, you know, Maddie and I are best friends since we were 6 years old. Music kept us out of a lot of trouble when we were kids. It was always something that you could do by yourself when you were bored. There was just, and we talk about this a lot too. We talk about this a lot. So there's just, and I keep going back to this kept you out of trouble, right? I mean, I could always go to my room and I could practice. Whereas I had friends who, And it was something that I loved to do too. It wasn't anything that I had to be forced to do or anything. I really enjoyed going to my room and practicing. Whereas I had some other friends who, when they got bored, they didn't have things to go do, and they'd find themselves out and they'd find themselves in trouble, you know? So I think it's really important to have something like that, a passion, and especially in the arts and things like that, that you can hone a skill. And it doesn't always have to be music, but like the fact that it was music for me was really special. You know, it was an enriching art that I was able to really hone a skill in and then, you know, pursue a career in. And that was really special for me.
Yeah, it would look, it's a social experience for me as well. You know, performing in bands, connecting with band members, right? Feeling a part of a team. And that boils all the way down to what our core values of community through music with the young ones, right? Our group sessions and our birthday parties, they're all together. We're all one band. And look, you know this, right? You know exactly this, right? It's so important to get them feeling comfortable in a group setting. Mm-hmm. And the music is the perfect vehicle for that, especially when it comes to the educational content that we try to put in our music. The kids, for some reason, I don't know why it is, but like my kids can remember a chorus of a song like after one time. They're like sponges. So like they remember the words in the song. So like it's like the perfect vehicle for teaching, I think. And that goes back to the whole idea of what the Beat Buds really started as. And a lot of it was parents telling us that they needed to communicate things to their kids. Like, I got to get my kid down for a nap. Can you write a nap time song? Can you write a song about food or what are some of our other topics that we can mention?
Brushing teeth.
Yeah. Right. And we could do it through song and they remember brush, brush, brush. And then when they go to brush their teeth, they're thinking of the song and it's like a win-win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So like the music, I think is one of the special ways that you can just drive a message.
Yeah, absolutely. I can tell you, my kids love brushing their teeth. I would have never thought that because of music. I mean, that's why they see it so exciting and that's why they do it. So I agree. It's a cool art and it is important. Like you guys said too, that finding an outlet, whether it's music or whatever, it's so important for our kids to find something, because if there's nothing to do and they're bored, kids are going to find something to do and it's not always the best choice. So it's very, very important that it's about keeping them busy, you know, it's and not necessarily busy work, but keeping them busy so that they don't get themselves into trouble. So, you know, we've talked a little bit about why you do what you do with social norms and stuff. So how do you guys get your ideas for music? I mean, you mentioned a little bit that parents will come to you and say, hey, I need a song about brushing my teeth, but how do you kind of get those? Do you draw from your own parenting experiences?
Yeah. A lot of it from other parents. We get it from our kids as well. Yeah. But then you know, drawing back on our relationship, right?
Oh, yeah, the things that we love to do,
yeah,
right? I mean, everybody loves a dinosaur, right? I mean, every kid, like, we go to a birthday party, we're looking out, we're becoming one with our audience. That kid has a dinosaur shirt. So does that one.
Yeah.
So does that girl back there. Let's write a dinosaur song. I mean, yeah. Who doesn't love dinosaurs, right? And then try and figure out an educational approach to that song, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's basically given to us from being in the field.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't plan on doing the Beat Buds. Like, it just kind of fell upon us. And I think it picked us because of our relationship since 6 years old, that we have a sensibility that we can go out there and we can learn from the kids and we can communicate from the kids in a different way than maybe, you know, regular parents can do. So we learned so much from them and are so inspired by them, as we hope that we inspire them at the same time. It's like a give and take. So that's where we get our song ideas, really.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, no, and that's awesome. It's very, very, it's always interesting too, to see what artists do to kind of insert their little parenting experiences within their music as well, and just kind of get their ideas. Cause hey man, I don't know everything. I don't know anywhere near everything about being a parent. So I rely on these things, and those are great ways and resources for us as parents to kind of, you know, to fall back on and kind of put some more tools in the toolbox, per se, I guess. So can you tell us a little bit about these weekly, you guys have on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time, you have these YouTube lives, right? Beat Buds Live. Can you tell us a little bit about them, and what can people expect if they, you know, happen to pop in on one of those sessions?
Yeah, they're more of a variety show than the focus of our classes, and then the entertainment of our birthday parties. Those are the birthdays and the classes are super music driven. It's like song, 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 song. The YouTube shows are more of a variety show. We do crafts. We do
contests.
Yeah, contests. We have voting stuff where, you know, a lot of interactivity with the audience. For a couple of reasons. Number one, we don't want to cannibalize our business, because we do have a business that we have to maintain now. So we don't want to put our business out there on a free YouTube stream. Number one. But number two, we have to do something that differentiates the two. Otherwise, it's just the same across all platforms. So we want to make sure that everything's a little bit different, and we want to give the kids different content as well. We want to make sure that when you're going to the Beat Buds for those different things, those things do differentiate themselves. We want to be diverse. And so that show is different than anything else that you can find from our different offerings on our website.
And for us, it channels a whole other creative outlet, right? I mean, it really is a different thing. I mean, we know the birthday party and the music, you know, whole program, but like, this is constantly changing, you know, and we're
on our toes.
Yeah. We're trying to get pull ideas from different things and, you know, give the kids somewhat of when it first started, it was designed, I'm not saying it was designed to be school, but it was designed to give them a fuller perspective of just wholesome entertainment, rather than just like, okay, well, you know, we shake the tambourine like on 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, like that kind of stuff. It was just like more of a well-rounded approach, so the kids could do different things throughout it, right? Paper and crafts and all kinds of fun things. And we explore musical styles, which is fun. We play more cover songs than we ever do, which is really cool, right? Expose the kids to that. And we're having a good time. I mean, that's the bottom line, is it's always been about like, look, if we're having a good time, then we feel that we can communicate the best. So if we're having a good time, then it's a winner.
Yeah, it's cool. We have one really special day on Fridays that we really love, where it's really all about the fans. We call it Fan Fridays. And the kids really just decide everything. So we take all the songs that we've played throughout the week, and the kids decide which songs we have to play. And we put them on the board, and the kids vote. And then it keeps us on our toes, because they may pick a song that we're not that familiar with. But we got to play it. If they voted for it, we got to play it. And we even have a show and tell day where throughout the week, they pick an item at their house that they want to share. And so they send us a picture of the kids with their items, and we share it with the whole audience. You know, we pick like 6 or 7 of the kids every week, and we share it with everybody. So it's a really fun show, you know, and it's a wide open show. And like I said, more of a variety show than the focus of our classes and our and our birthdays.
Yeah. And you can tap into the holidays too, which is cool.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah.
Like if it's Valentine's Day, we could do more love songs.
Yeah. We did a Mother's Day theme. We did a Cinco de Mayo theme. We've done all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
That's great. So, you know, you kind of mentioned about doing covers too, and I have a question for you guys, and it's always interesting to hear everybody's kind of take on this. And, you know, we're into the children's music. We definitely, we listen to a lot of family oriented music and geared towards our children. But, you know, I try and find music that's standard too. Not necessarily jazz standard. I'm not saying that, but I mean, pop music from the 60s and 50s now is almost like the new jazz standards because they're the classics, right? So in my mind, that's the way I see it. But so how do you guys pick your music for your kids to listen to? Because we don't always just listen to Disney. At least I don't want to. I love that music. I think it's well-written, a lot of it. I think a lot of the well-written children's music, it's so important in our household, especially when we're teaching skills. But I want to expose them to music and the art too at a different level so they can get excited about musicians, because they are going to grow up at some point and they're going to want to move into their own phase. How do you guys kind of share your interests in music and stuff? Because, you know, our era, and I don't know about you guys, I think we're about closer to the same age. A lot of the stuff that came out when we were like teens and kids may not be the most appropriate. So we're trying to filter and find stuff. How do you guys kind of share your love for music and what you love in music and trying to not censor it, but try and be more mindful as a parent?
I mean, look, I strike out a lot.
I do too.
So do I.
You know, when I'm trying to get my 6-year-old and 9-year-old who want to listen to Selena Gomez and Taylor Swift, and I'm trying to show them, like, check out Huey Lewis. This is real. This has vibe, you know? I think I really try, and it probably just goes unnoticed, but I really try and get them to zone in on the instrumentation to just so they can hear the differences. Listen to the way that sounds. But look, that's a hard mountain to tackle. I think, I mean, they love the pop music. It's played on the shows that they watch in a lot of instances, like, or interspersed in between, you know, or they might hear it. If my wife's watching, you know, like the Real Housewives and the kids are walking through, they hear, you know, the Justin Bieber song or something like that. I don't know. I think I try and pull the most wholesome stuff I can from that and just say, hey, that's the drums, you know, that's the bass, that's the guitar, listen to that. But when I try and show them, like, you know, 80s metal rock, which is what I grew up listening to, or punk rock, you know, they think it's noise, but at first. But when I can get in there and I get a little deeper, they can hear the differences, you know, in instrumentation and speed and stuff like that. So I can get a little lesson out of it.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
For me, my son is really unique, and he's not quite 2.5 yet, but he is a drummer. He has an Alesis electronic kit.
Nice.
His idol is Matt. He is
drummers.
He's playing crossed hands. He's playing independence.
Nice.
With his foot in his, and I'm not teaching him. I'm just kind of letting him do his own thing.
He's going to be a monster, man.
But
that's awesome.
Anything that's drum heavy, he wants to listen to. And if it's not drum heavy, he's just not that interested in it. But the entire Metallica Black Album, he really loves AC/DC. Anything that's drum heavy, he really wants to listen to. And if it's not drum heavy, he's just kind of not very interested in it. But that's just it for him. And it's funny because he can recite lyrics to all this stuff, which, like you said, it might not be the most appropriate stuff, but this is the stuff that he wants to hear. And it's not usually the kid-friendly stuff. He loves the Beat Buds, because anything that that has our pictures on it or our videos on it, he's absolutely in love with. But outside of that, it's got to be heavy for him, and it's got to be drum heavy.
Yeah.
And he'll listen to it.
It's so unique. We're approaching kids at such an early age, to the point where, like, gosh, if they continue on, like, you know, they're picking up a guitar or picking up a drum set as a result of being inspired by what we do. I'm so honored to be in that position. If they continue on to starting at 2 and continue on as a musician, they're going to become insane.
It's true.
Yeah.
They're sponges. I mean, the way they pick up, we talked about how they can remember a chorus of a song. How quick they can pick this stuff up is just so much quicker than, you know, our age. And and who knows what they could be. Look, you know, it's tough to be a musician in this day and age. It really is tough. So, I mean, I don't know if I would necessarily want my kids to maybe move in that direction, because it's been a long and it's been a tough road. But man, as a pastime, as something to do by themselves and to just get in a room with friends and feel the drums in their body, like Izzo's feeling, you know, like it, man, that's everybody's God-given right, you know?
Right. Right. I agree. And And props to drummers, man. That was my main instrument too. That's what my degree was in. So I'm all about percussion. I'm all about percussion and drums and doing that and playing with groups and whatnot. So you've talked a little bit about the importance of kind of just incorporating all this into our daily lives, the music and whatnot. You guys have a Beat Buds show coming out on Nickelodeon on 2021, correct? And can you tell our listeners what to expect from that show? You've given us kind of an idea. Is this going to be similar to what you're doing, or is it going to be a totally new? You guys seem to be really good at reinventing yourself. So kind of curious what's going to happen with this one.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're really excited about it. We think that, and we're in the process of developing the show right now. We know that at this point, the show is really just going to be about the adventures of, you know, two best friends making music and making new friends out there.
Learning along the way.
Right.
Right. That we're learning too. We're not teachers. We're just, the kids are learning through us.
Right.
Right. That's important for us.
And it's just going to be this, you know, magical, enriching, entertaining show. It's going to be an animated show. And we're excited. We're in the process of writing the episodes right now and animating and we're just super excited for it to come out and share it with the world, because we just feel like this is the vehicle that will really help our brand really become a global brand.
Get the music out there.
Yeah. You know, look, Maddie and I, we say this all the time, but we're in the business of smiles, and we've seen how much kids really enjoy this on a local level. And, we really feel like the world deserves to have this brand. And we're just so excited to bring it to them.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. And we're looking forward to seeing it. I'm really excited to see more, and we're definitely experiencing it within our household, and it's going to be a household staple here now for us to be listening to you guys and checking it out. And we'll encourage our listeners to do that too. Before we let you go and kind of let you give the rundown of all where folks can find you, we like to close our show with a segment that I do with everybody, is things we can't wait to see and share through our children's eyes. It can be anything. There's no right or wrong answer. People always get tripped up or think that this one's more difficult than it is. There is no right or wrong answer. If it's movies, great. If it's music, great. If it's an adventure, if it's school, whatever it is, what can't you wait to see through your kids' eyes? Or maybe you've already seen it through your eyes and you were really excited to see and share with them.
Yeah, think for a second.
Sometimes it's a tough one.
I'm doing that all day long. Like, I mean, it's probably not the best thing, but I mean, the movies for sure, but I want to think of something good.
Like for me, it was, you know, for example, when I was a kid, I experienced Disney World by going down in a motorhome and camping with my grandparents and my parents and the trip down there and then experiencing Disney. I just can't wait to do that with my kids. You know, not that it's just the Disney World aspect. I mean, I was excited because I'm a kid and I want to see them get that excited. But I think that whole process of just doing a big road trip and being together and that whole thing, that was kind of something that I'm excited about. You know, there's a few things here and there that kind of adjusted us through, but that was one that I kind of used in the past.
I have to say, one of the greatest moments for me, and I'm so excited to do it with my kids, with my 9-year-old, who's going to come first, would be to teach them how to drive. Teach them how to drive. I mean, that was like the most liberating experience, to get behind that wheel and just have that kind of freedom. That's what I'm looking forward to. I've shown them Airplane and Spaceballs and all that stuff already, and I've blocked out the bad stuff. But like, I think that's probably one thing that I am going to cherish. I did the bike riding thing, was great. That was amazing. Yeah. Just wait, letting that hand go and letting the bike take off. I mean, that is just remarkable. I have that on video and everything. But I think for me, the next one would be the driving.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is it's cool. Gonna be good.
I like that.
For me,
I think there's going to be a couple. I think when Izzo is ready to actually like get behind that drum kit and like I can wail on my guitar and we can actually jam some songs together, I can't wait for that to happen.
You're already doing that pretty much, though. Yeah, it's crazy. They do it.
We get in here.
That's awesome.
We play Enter Sandman together, and he's got some. He keeps the beat. It's amazing. Yeah. But the other one is I really can't wait to get out on the water and surf with my son.
That's a good
nice.
One.
Really can't wait to do that, because I grew up surfing, and for me it was a really spiritual thing. And for me, I was never like a community surfer. Like I was the kind of guy that wanted to go find my own break and be by myself, and just, you know, I was a soul surfer, right? That was always my thing.
Soul surfer.
That was
nice.
That was my
that's
thing.
Right. I remember that sticker.
Yeah. So I just wanted to. I can't wait to just do that with my son. Just the two of us find our own little break. And just the two of us just be out there and connect, you know, that's going to be a really special moment for me as a dad.
Right.
That's
those
awesome.
Classic moments, man.
Yeah.
Like,
those are great.
I mean, like a certain moment that I would have loved to have done with my kids was like, just sit on the couch in front of two loudspeakers, turn up the volume with my amplifiers and my preamps on the whole nine, and just do nothing but stare at nothing.
Yeah, because we did that. Yeah. We did that.
And just listen to the sonics of it. But I just don't think that the kids are going to be that interested in that type of thing these days. So stuff like surfing and driving is something that I'm imagining is still going to be relevant.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. Those are great. Those are both great things and things to think about. Cause you know, you never think about like the driving, you know, I'm not at that stage to think about my kids driving, but yeah, for sure. And of course these things evolve as the kids' age changes and there's always a new step to take and a new thing to experience with them. So, those are all great experiences. And I'm excited about some of those things too, which is pretty cool. So, guys, can you tell us how folks can find the Beat Buds and all your great stuff, you know, whether it's social media or maybe just through the website or whatever. We'll put it in the show notes, but maybe give them a shout here too.
Thank you. Yeah, please. All of our social media handles for Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, everything is just at The Beat Buds. I know the shirt just says Beat Buds, but it's The Beat Buds.
Yeah.
So we should probably wear different shirts for interviews.
I know. It's funny. We should look at those logos.
We should look at those logos. All of our social media handles are just at The Beat Buds. And then the website is www.thebeatbuds.com. Our YouTube is youtube.com/thebeatbuds as well. And then the music is streamable everywhere. Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, wherever you stream it.
Pandora, I believe, right?
It's there, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Hey, thank you.
Well,
and if you're liking brushing their teeth, you got to check out our Brush Your Teeth song.
We will for sure.
Check it out.
We will. Well, Maddie and Johnny, thank you so much for being here. The Beat Buds, it was a great conversation. We're really excited to share what you guys have to offer with our listeners. I know they're going to love checking you guys out and listening to your stuff. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Don't forget the dad experience. You can email us experienceanddad@gmail.com or shoot us, check our website, thedadexperiencepodcast.com. Maybe you have a show idea or a question for one of our guests. Let us know. And until next time, thanks for listening to The Dad Experience.